There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking energy now. Robin Mills is the CEO of Camar Energy, and he's with us in the studio. Morning, Robin. Good to see you.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
We're talking hydrogen technology. Lots of developments over the past few days in hydrogen technology, particularly coming out of Asia. Tokyo unveiling that a lot of the buses for the Olympics are going to be powered by hydrogen fuel cells, and Toyota unveiling a power generating unit, not for transportation, but a fixed power generation unit based on the same hydrogen fuel cell technology as they use in their Mirai hydrogen fuel cell car, which put us thinking, well, just how viable is this? I know you've researched this and looked into this in some detail. So let's take a step back. First of all, hydrogen 101, what is it? How does it work?
Sure. Well, hydrogen, of course, is the lightest element. It's a gas, and we could burn it and produce energy from it, or in a fuel cell, it combines in a chemical reaction to produce electricity. Now, hydrogen is not a source of energy itself. It has to be made from something else, right? So it has to be made from oil or from gas, or, and more interestingly now, from renewable energy. Basically, we split water, which, of course, is hydrogen oxygen, and we split it into its components, and we get hydrogen. But that, of course, means we have to put electricity in, and we could get that from renewable energy, from solar power, wind power, or whatever else.
So you need energy to create the hydrocarbon. And the basic math or physics is you've got to get a lot more energy out of the hydrogen you create than you spend creating the hydrogen, or else it's utterly pointless.
Well, it's a convenient way of transporting energy and storing it for use, right? So, you know, okay, electric vehicles are getting more and more interesting and, you know, more and more capable, but still for a heavy long-distance truck or long-distance train or a ship, there's no way that batteries at the moment will take a ship across the Atlantic, right? Whereas hydrogen, a tank full of hydrogen, will take a ship across the Atlantic. Potentially in future, it may take airliners around the world. And of course, the other problem we have with renewable energy is how do we store it? You know, obviously at night, sun's down, or in the winter, we might not have a lot of sun for a long time. The wind may drop. How do we store energy for times like that? Well, one way is to turn it into hydrogen, put it in a tank, and then when we need it, we can turn it back into electricity, or we can use it to heat homes, or in some other way bridge the gap.
Sounds brilliant. So why does Elon Musk say it's a stupid, to use his phrase, technology?
Yeah, because Elon Musk is pushing his electric cars, of course, with Tesla. And, you know, electric cars are great. I think they've made tremendous progress. But hydrogen cars are seen as a competitor to that. And the Japanese companies like Toyota particularly have pushed that.
Now, but they've sold about 10,000 of them, haven't they, the Mirai? It costs 50% more than the equivalent Toyota Camry, even though it's heavily subsidised. And they've sold 10,000 of them. So it's clearly not catching on, is it? There's some barrier here, Robin.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. Like, and I'm pretty sceptical on hydrogen for light vehicles, you know, for like everyday passenger vehicles. I think electric cars are going to be much more successful in that space. I think the room for hydrogen is really in heavy vehicles that are going long distances, where the batteries can't take a heavy vehicle over a very major distance and carrying a lot of load. But the Japanese and Toyota and so on have been pushing it, you know, and there may be a breakthrough there. But I think that was why Elon Musk was dismissing it, you know, because from his point of view, it doesn't make sense.
But when you mention hydrogen, the first thing that springs to mind for a lot of people is going to be safety. People are going to worry about the risk of explosions, particularly when you start talking about things like airliners fueled by hydrogen. How has that been a non-issue? How has that become a non-issue?
Well, really advances in storage and different ways of storing hydrogen safely. I mean, when you talk about airliner safety, right? Every time we go up in an airliner, it's got enormous tanks of kerosene, which is an extremely explosive, flammable fuel. And yet, you know, generally we're not concerned about that. And I think the modern ways of storing hydrogen in tanks are also safe. You know, people always like to think back to the airship, the Hindenburg in the 1930s, which of course famously crashed and caught fire. You know, modern hydrogen transport will be nothing like that.
But yet there have been explosions at a hydrogen tank in South Korea and in Norway as well at a hydrogen station. So it has happened more recently.
Yeah, I think these are flammable, volatile fuels, right? Whatever fuel you're talking about, and they demand some attention to safety. But I don't think that's the critical thing. I think the real issue with hydrogen is the cost of making it and the cost of the cost of storing it and then the cost of the systems like fuel cells, which are pretty expensive at the moment, the cost of fuel cells to actually use it.
What about perception, though? Because even if the experts know, okay, compared to X risk or Y risk, it's actually safe, public perception is what's going to count in terms of adoption, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. And if people think it's unsafe, you know, these opinions catch on. And I think that's another reason, you know, why the heavy vehicles, like ships and so on, are an easier sell, because they have rigorous safety standards. They're run by big companies which will assess all the risks and can make a sensible judgment whether it's reasonable or not.
A lot of the research seems to be happening either side of the Pacific. We've talked about Toyota. Japan's doing a lot of good work on this. In California as well, there are efforts to open hydrogen filling stations for passenger cars. I read over the weekend, San Francisco Bay Area had its 10th hydrogen fuel cell filling station for passenger vehicles open. So it is happening there. What's happening, if anything, here in the UAE, Robin?
I think the most interesting development there has been the hydrogen filling station that was opened by Diwa at the expo site, you know, and that is making hydrogen from electrolysis. So it's basically, as I said earlier, using renewable energy to run this system to split water into oxygen and hydrogen. So that's the kind of system that we'd need on a much bigger scale if we're going to make a lot of use of hydrogen.
I know when we're comparing the cost of, for example, solar power plants to conventional gas-powered solar plant. We look at, for example, the cost per kilowatt hour of producing these plants. And we know that solar power plants now have come down to 2 or 3 cents per kilowatt hour, and that makes them viable against hydrocarbon powered. If we were to make some kind of comparison, and I know it's apples and oranges, but you're good at this, comparison of hydrogen-powered energy compared to other sources, can we do a kind of rough back-of-the-envelope comparison?
Yeah, it's tricky, I think, because it's being used in different ways. But, I mean, at the moment, if we look at hydrogen that's produced from natural gas, let's say, that's somewhat more expensive. Let's say it's on the range of 50 to 100% more than the natural gas that's used to make it. But the advantage is it's a clean fuel, right? It doesn't release carbon dioxide when it's burnt, and so isn't contributing to global warming. If we talk about comparing hydrogen that's made from renewable energy, yeah, it's significantly more expensive than using the renewable energy directly. But of course, that's not how we're using it, right? We want to create the hydrogen to store energy for exactly those times that we don't have renewables available.
What about refueling, though? I mean, if you've now got electric chargers, and presumably you're going to have refueling for the FCVs, the hydrogen, then of course you've still got petrol and diesel and all the rest of it. Are we going to get enough refueling stations for hydrogen to become possible?
Well, I think, look, one advantage of hydrogen, of course, refueling is it's very quick. Unfortunately, electric vehicles take a long time, usually several hours for a full charge. Whereas, of course, we're used to filling up a petrol or a diesel vehicle within a few minutes. And hydrogen is the same. Within a few minutes, the tank is full. Now, I think if hydrogen does take on, then we'll have it added to stations. Yeah, at the moment, we have petrol stations, which also have electricity charging points. But some of them, of course, are selling compressed natural gas, CNG.
Exit, you can fill up your Tesla while you're having a hot dog. If we have restaurants with electronic charging stations.
Yeah. If you've got the time and if you want a hot dog and you're not desperately rushing somewhere. Yeah.
Robin, we'll have to leave it there. Great talking to you as ever. Robin Mills is the Chief Executive of Camar Energy. Appreciate you joining us to fill us in about hydrogen.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.